WHO breast milk protects babies from developing acute and chronic illness. It also keeps mothers at lower risk of developing type 2 diabetes, breast cancer, heart disease, and postpartum depression. Becky Mantle with the University of Oklahoma Sciences Center says outside pressure, not health issues, is what forces most mothers to stop breastfeeding.
They can have challenges in the hospital. They can have challenges when they go home. If their family, you know, doesn't understand how breastfeeding works, they can have challenges when they go back to work.
She says while only a very small percentage of mothers actually need to use baby formula, more than half stop breastfeeding after 6 months.
In most cases, moms can successfully breastfeed, and they will be even more successful if they know where to go for help. They can ask their doctor, their nurse, their midwife. They can ask in the hospital.
President Obama is paying a special visit to the Phoenix VA Medical Center today. It's the same venue that's been the focus of a national scandal regarding a lack of proper care for veterans. Several people protested Obama's visit in January when he skipped a visit to the medical center. You can always find more special interest stories, news, and headlines online at usaheadlinenews.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
It's 9:05. It's time for Hunter Chamber Radio weather. It's 31 degrees and clear skies in Flemington. It's calm winds. Today is Friday the 13th. TGIF. Sunny to partly cloudy today. A high near 50. Wind southeast at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies with periods of rain late and a low of 37. Winds light and variable. Chance of rain is 100%. Rainfall near a quarter of an inch. Cloudy with periods of rain tomorrow. A high of 54. Wind south-southwest at 5 to 10. Chance of rain 100%, rainfall near a quarter of an inch. On Sunday, partly cloudy skies in the morning will give way to cloudy skies during the afternoon, a high around 50. That's going to be pretty good for the St. Patrick's Day parade at the town of Clinton. On Monday, partly cloudy skies and a high of 58. Partly cloudy on Tuesday, 46. Sun and a few clouds on Wednesday. Gusty, though, a high of 45. Winds 20 to 30 miles an hour. Temperatures in our area, 32. In Tewksbury, 30 in Lebanon, 31 in Alexandria, 31 in Raritan, 33 in Hopewell, and 30 in Lambertville. Good morning, Hunterdon. That's Hunterdon Chamber Radio weather. Welcome back to Good Morning Hunter and HuntChamberRadio.com. That is the voice of Glenn Miller. He is a Grammy Award winning singer and just received a Grammy last February. He is an alum of North Hunterdon, and he is on the phone with me from Detroit. Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Glenn. How are you? Is everybody... Does everybody challenge a basso profundo?
When you just greeted me, everybody kind of pulls their voice down a little bit.
Yeah,
in range.
You have no choice.
They try to. Yeah,
you have no choice. I relate to this very well because I was telling you off air I'm a trumpet player, and so. I'm going to do this a lot through our discussion today because somehow I believe, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, that in the world of trumpet playing, many of us have this desire to play higher, to play the highest note. And I was very good friends with a lot of tuba players and bass trombone players, And that was always about how low can you go.
That way with Bezos, too. like, it's funny.
Yeah, it is.
But there you are.
You have a great sense of humor. I saw a bunch of videos and interviews with you, and you seem to take it very, very lightly, and it's very entertaining. So, good morning. Thank you for being on. I've been looking forward to this for as long as you and I have been in contact. When I did contact you via Facebook, congratulations on.
Thank you very much. Yes.
And why don't you give us a quick introduction as to who you are and what you're doing?
Okay, well, my name's Glenn Miller, and I'm not related to the band leader at all. My mom thought it was a cool name.
All right.
When I was born, you know, I understand my older brother's playmate was named Glenn, and that's kind of how it happened.
Okay.
I grew up in Quakertown, New Jersey.
Wow.
On a little dairy farm. Okay. And, you know, we had cows and chickens and sheep and a very simple but busy life.
Mm-hmm.
But I always knew I was going to go into music, you know. I was just kind of...
You did?
I don't know. Oh, yeah.
When did that come to you? What was the first thing that you could remember that told you, yeah, this is where I need to go?
Oh, I was 5 years old, and I remember this vividly. I was home sick from school.
Okay.
One day, and it was in the middle of the it was in the wintertime, and we were getting a piano, and the piano arrived. It was actually for my brother because, you know, my mom, you know, and my parents said, well, everybody should take piano lessons. So we got this piano, and it came, and I was there on the sofa, and it was in the living room, and I went over to the piano, and I found middle C on my own, and I found a C major chord.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found it an octave lower, and I started playing these two C major chords back and forth, you know, kind of...
Wow.
It was a bit irritating to my mother.
Yes, I'm sure.
Because I kept doing it, da-da-da-da-da, you know.
Yep.
And finally she said, you know, you're sick, get back on the sofa.
Oh, there you go. Nice.
You know, but I just was, like, taken by this, you know. And then I remember going to church, you know. We went to Quakertown Methodist Church. They're a little country church. And just so taken by the, you know, the choir and the organ and all of that. And I thought, yeah, that's what I want to do. So,
well, it's, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. It's one thing to, I want to do it, but it's another thing to have the talent to be able to do it. So when did you figure out you had the talent to do it?
That's a hard one. I assume everybody had it.
Really? Well, good
know?
For you.
Oh, yeah. I thought, yeah, you know, and I thought, well, everybody can sing. But then I kind of realized, well, that's maybe not true. But I remember just going up through, you know, elementary school at Franklin Township School there and, you know, music class with our music teacher was Mrs. Bush. And she, you know, we just sang songs. It wasn't anything highly sophisticated or anything, you know.
Right.
We just sang songs. And I just thought, well, this is the best thing since sliced bread, you know.
Yeah.
And sang in my, you know, choir at my, the children's choir at the church there. And just, you know, just thought it was great. And then it wasn't, I guess when I got to high school, it's like kind of the light, well, maybe in mid-high, we were singing some things in parts at the church there. And I thought, well, this is kind of easy.
You know? Yeah.
And I couldn't figure out why people were kind of not remembering their part, you know.
Yeah.
We got to go over it a few times.
Sure.
I was like, well, it's right there on the page. And then when I got to high school, I really wanted to be in the upper, the main choir, which was sophomores, juniors, and singers at North.
Right.
And not in the freshman glee club because, you know, they just kind of, you know, all due respect, but didn't seem as, you know, wasn't as challenging.
Sure.
Musically. And so I got in as a freshman. I remember going to, well, I should backtrack a little bit. My voice as a youngster was a really high soprano.
Get out of here.
Oh, yeah, and that's kind of common with low basses. You know, they have a really high a treble voice when they're young.
Uh-huh.
And then when it hits.
Wow.
You know? And I remember eighth grade graduation at Franklin Township School. oh, I think we sang America the Beautiful or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I had the, I guess, the gumption to kind of sing a high C at the end.
Okay. All right.
You know, the one about the trouble staff, you know?
Sure.
And I could really rip it, you know? But I did kind of get razzed about things like that, you know?
Right.
As you can imagine.
Sure.
Because it wasn't quite, you know, I wasn't the jock or anything, you know? And, you know.
Wow.
Everything. But I do remember, you know, in the summer, a couple times, well, since we were farmers, we didn't have, you know, we couldn't go on vacation very much. Mm-hmm. But we went to the Jersey Shore a couple times. And I remember driving on their way, because we go through Princeton there on Rosedale Road.
Right.
And there was a sign of American Boy Choir, but it was the Columbus Boy Choir. And I just thought, oh, I wonder what that is. And it always stuck with me, and I thought, gosh, that would have been really fun. But, you know, we didn't know such things existed, really.
Sure.
So back to high school. I remember going to the high school choir concerts, because my cousins were in it, and my one cousin was actually one of the accompanists when she was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was really cool. And I listened to the big choir, and I thought, well, I listened to the basses, and I thought, well, if I want to get in, I've got to be able to have some certain notes, you know. And I figured out that their lowest note that they sang was a low E, and I thought, oh, maybe if I have a low E, I'll get in.
Right.
And so summer of my, you know, the summer before I went to high school is when my voice change happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't remember if it was like I woke up one morning and kind of bang, it was all gone. I did still have my top, but just the bottom fell out.
Right.
But by the time I got to school in the fall, it was, you know, it was there. And I auditioned for Mr. Irons, was our choir director there at North. And he was just great. I just thought he was it, you mm-hmm. know. And I got in the big choir and all that. And then he would have the newbies in for extra help, extra voice time.
Sure.
You know, just to kind of see where they're, sort them out, you know,
right.
that type of thing. So he had me in, and we were working on stuff. And then he said, go stand over on the other side of the piano where I couldn't see the keyboard.
Right.
And he started playing notes. And he said, what's that note? And I would say, he'd plunk a note. And I would say, well, that's an E, and, you know, do all that little testing thing. And he said, well, you know, not everybody can do that.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, okay. And he said, well, that's called perfect pitch. And I said, oh.
Oh, whatever. so you have perfect pitch, too. Oh, my gosh. Okay, cool. Wow.
Yeah. So that kind of was like, oh, maybe it's something, I've been given something a little extra. So,
wow.
And it kind of answered why, you know, I could look at something and just sing it, you know.
Sure.
And be on key. So that's really kind of where it got started. And so I did all that through high school and made the small group and did all state one year. I was kind of, that was my junior year. My voice kept getting lower. We had to sing, there was a high scale and a low scale
right.
In the audition for all state. And by the second year for auditioning, I didn't have the high scale anymore. I couldn't sing above a middle C. And the high scale was a D, and I was like just mortified. You know?
Wow.
Yeah.
You were popping out the high C's not more than 2 years before, and all of a sudden now you lost an octave.
Oh, two octaves.
Two octaves. Oh, my.
Yeah, you know. So, and I was like, oh, I just kind of want to keep my record perfect with all state, you know, getting in on my, you know, and on one audition and not getting on the second. So,
right.
But that was an, oh, my gosh, I'll never forget all state. It
yep.
was just... to hear, to be in a choir, there's 500 in the group.
Yeah.
Maybe four. And with the orchestra, you know, and singing, we sang the first couple movements of Mozart Requiem, and oh, it was like, oh my golly, this is just incredible.
Yep.
So, but all through all that, I was taking piano, and I always wanted to take the organ, study the organ, and
mm-hmm.
I started doing that when I was a ninth grader. And
Wait. You started studying pipe organ in ninth grade?
Yeah.
Where were you doing that?
Well, actually, it wasn't pipes yet. It was an organ. The organ in my home church, and we didn't have a pipe organ.
Okay.
But we were yoked with we would do summer services with the Presbyterian Church out near between Pittston and Clinton there on Bethlehem Pres.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a pipe organ at the time, and I got to play it, and I was like, oh my gosh, the sound!
Yeah,
I was just so taken. It's sure. just like nothing else, you know. So, but I started organ, you know, when I was ninth grade,
mm-hmm.
and I just thought that was it, and kind of got in trouble with my folks because I had a lot of responsibilities on the farm.
Yeah,
you know, with you know, with chores and
chores,
things like
yeah.
that.
Sure,
you know, and so I was allowed to practice for 1 hour at the church on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I kind of pushed that up a bit.
Yeah.
You know, 1 hour would turn into two, and then I'd be late to collect the egg from the chicken house and get in trouble, you know,
yeah.
and that type of thing. But I was just, the sound world just, I got totally lost in.
Man, that's cool. In high school, was there a lot of basses available? I mean, did they have a consummate amount of basses? Because most high schools struggle with that.
Yeah, no, a lot of baritones.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And a lot of baritenors, you know. Kind
yeah.
of the other end too.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
There were yeah. And there were a few of us, nothing, you know, as I think about it, no one had probably didn't have the low range that I had, you know.
Well, I'm sure of that. I mean you're a rare breed now. I mean it's
Yeah, it's kinda kinda funny.
Yeah.
And you know. But at the end of high school, I was studying with this my first organ teacher, and she was a dear. She was actually my second piano teacher. My first piano teacher, who I just she was my church organist, and I just loved her to death, you know, because as a little kid, you know, she was it, you know,
mm-hmm.
and but she really was, you know, she just kind of played, you know, she didn't know much, and kind of, she didn't even know fingers had numbers, you know.
Wow.
It was, God bless her, you know. And but then she decided that she didn't want to teach anymore, and it wasn't because of us or anything. She was interested in becoming a court stenographer.
Uh huh. Oh my.
So that was. So she had a little bit of a career change, but she lived right across the road from our farm.
Right.
And so it was great and all that. So I changed teachers to another lady, and then that's when I learned that fingers had numbers, and oh, that was just a bit of a trauma, but, you know, we embraced that and got on
sure.
with it. And I started organ with her, and then meanwhile, my brother went to college in Doylestown at Delaware Valley College.
Uh-huh.
And he got involved with the Presbyterian Church in Doylestown, which was like big church to me, you know, by comparison. And they had this really beautiful pipe organ, like a real, you know, something substantial.
Sure.
And it was, and they had, and he was singing in the choir, and their music director was a graduate of Westminster Choir College in Princeton.
Yep.
So Christmas Eve, back at my home church, I was like the only bass in the choir, our little choir, you know.
Yep.
And it was kind of it was an interesting service, I'll just kind of say that.
Sure.
Being a small church, you know, there was always a rotation of pastors, you know, it was always kind of changing every couple of years.
Right.
And so Christmas Eve was interesting, but my brother was singing at the 11 o'clock evening service at his church in Doylestown, Doylestown Pres. And so he said, well, come on, hop in the car, let's go over to Doylestown. So I did that, and I heard it, and the choir was amazing, and the organ was amazing, and on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And after service, Bob introduced me to their organist, and he said, well, would you like to sit down and play? Well, that was the best Christmas gift ever.
Oh, man. Wow.
Yeah, no, and I was like, wow. He said, well, if you ever want to come over and just practice, feel free. Well, I ended up taking lessons from him because this was my senior year in high school, and mm-hmm. I wanted to go to music school. So I worked with him, and then wanted to go to Westminster because of his, you know, he was just amazing. And so I went to Westminster, and And but I'm still singing, of course, and I'm majoring in organ and church music at Westminster, but with a voice minor. That's all everybody at Westminster sings in a choir every
sure,
day.
Right.
Voice,
and yep.
on, because that's the middle name. That's the middle name. And I remember in the minor class, the man who was teaching it was just kind of funny, because I would sing and he would just kind of laugh. He said, "Well, it's really low." And but I wanted a little bit more than just being a minor, so I started doing more private work.
Right.
And so that's kind of what we did there. And
wow.
And you know, so they kind of, you know, whenever there were low notes, they looked to me. It was you know, the sound of Westminster at the time was a lighter sound than what I had, and so I never made Westminster choir because they just wanted baritones. You know, all due respect, and I loved the director and everything.
Yeah.
But it was a different sound, and it's evolved, you know, and that's fine. Sure. And that was fine.
Cool. All right. We're going to take a quick break, Glenn.
Okay.
I got to play a couple of commercials, and then we'll bring you back, and we'll talk about, how the concept of being a basso profundo. Hang on. We're listening to
absolutely.
All right. Hang on. We'll be right back.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, law offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Right, welcome back to Good Morning Hunter and HuntChamberRadio.com. I have Glenn Miller on the phone with me in Detroit, Michigan, and he is a Grammy-winning, award-winning singer and basso profundo. Glenn, when did it dawn on you? You already told me the story about how you figured out that you had perfect pitch. And then you somehow at some point somebody had to explain to you that the gift of your voice not only is so good and resonant, but has such depth that it's so rare. When did you learn that the rarity of that?
Well, it started at Westminster, there was a man who used to come to summer session named Howard Swan. He was a big name in the choral world. And he taught every summer, and I sang for him one day because everybody said, you know, you got to hear Glenn Miller because he's got this freaky low voice,
right.
And you know, he's from the West Coast, but all national figure, and he heard it, and he said, Mike, and he knows something about the different registers of the voice and where your passaggio is and that type of thing.
Sure.
And he said, my gosh, it's the lowest one I've ever heard. You know.
Wow.
So that was like, oh, okay. But then things really started to move when I sang for Robert Shaw.
Right.
And that was in 1989. He was doing the Rachmaninoff Vespers in France that summer. And I saw the ad for it, you know, but I didn't audition. But I got a call and ended up getting to go and then
wow.
having an audition with him. And he just kept taking me lower and lower and lower. And he just kept laughing. You know? As I got lower, I couldn't look at him, you know?
Sure.
He just started to get his belly laugh going, and then because there's a spot in the Vespers that goes down to a low B flat, and it's kind of famous, but he was recording it, but then he did all that, and he gets the audition, and he said, we can do the piece now. So we made that recording, and my name kind of got out there more and more.
Wow.
And one thing led to another, and so and actually it was the whole with Cantus Ferrari, the choir that our recording won the Grammy. It was because of the Rachmaninoff Vespers that I got associated with Cantus Ferrari in the first place.
Sure.
It was just kind of a out of the blue thing, and to go to Austin, Texas, where Cantus Ferrari is based, back in 1996, I think it was, and I just knew then, wow, this is the journey. This chapter is going to be pretty amazing, and developed a great relationship with the conductor of the group, Greg Hella right. Johnson, who's just one of the most brilliant choral directors on the planet these days in our country, just changing the face of, not yeah. changing, but his influence is so amazing, and he's brilliant, kind of like Shaw was in the 20th century.
Right. Oh, I could talk to you about this. I could talk to you about this all day. This is good
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I could talk to you. Yeah, I gotta move it along here.
So you, I heard you on the Newsday interview, and you just nailed a G. It didn't even take you any effort whatsoever. Because I initially when I said, "Oh, I'm going to be speaking to Glenn Miller, and he's a basso profundo," I said, "Well, what does it really take?" And now I can get down to an E. If I drink a lot of beer and sleep late, I can get down to maybe an E flat.
Yeah.
But when you nailed a G below that, and that didn't even take any effort, and you're telling me that you got down to the B flat, was that B flat zero? Is that it?
Well, the G that was on the, I'm trying to think.
That was a G1.
That was a G1. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Rachmaninoff is the B flat. B flat is the B flat above that.
Oh, so okay. But the G below that was a piece of cake. That was a piece of cake for
yeah.
you. So do you work on continuing to build your range or enhancing the notes that you are capable of? What?
You know, I've been really careful not to push it.
Right.
Because I don't want to, I've heard a lot of singers who push, just a little too hard, and over time they get a wobble or, they can't keep it steady. And, I've been singing for a long time, but I didn't push it really early on. And I think that was kind of to my benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I'm busier now than I've ever been.
Oh, yeah. No, it's so obvious.
Yeah. And I sing with this group in Ann Arbor, and they're all like, 20, 30 somethings, But, around the country, everything. So,
yeah.
But basses do have the longest shelf life, though,
Yeah. Well,
if you play your cards right.
I was reading that traditionally, basso profundos and octavists usually don't come round into form into their 40s and 50s.
Yes.
You had this gift much earlier.
Yeah, I had the notes. It was it probably wasn't as full as it is as it got to be when I was, 40. I started singing for Shaw when I was 35.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fine then,
Cool.
It's just been amazing where it's all taken me,
Are you paid by the ledger line?
Oh, I should think about that.
Yeah, really, man. Look, man, I can get down to, I get another ledger line, I get another $200. Come on.
Really. And how many there are,
There aren't. There aren't. And I saw, it was funny, and this is why I was telling you in the intro, how I relate to the trumpet playing, because I saw somebody piece together on YouTube a mix of basso profundos and the excerpt performance of each person, their face, and the note that they sang, the lowest note they sang in that particular one. You happen to be one of the first ones, and I think it was like a, and they stepped all the way down to an F sharp. So you were you started at B1.
Yeah.
They stepped it all the way down to F sharp, and like I said, oh well, you know, maybe he's just kind of the middle of the range. Then I saw you nail that G on that on Newsday, and I said, oh wait a minute, this guy's got more than.
Yeah.
So you're just not you don't have the excerpts out there.
Yeah, well, I think I know which thing you're talking about.
And, yeah.
There was a series. There's about three of them out there though of that,
okay.
that series now.
Yeah.
And I don't know if of course there's a lot of you know Russians on there you know because they you know the whole basso profundo octavus thing comes from that tradition.
Right.
You know, choral tradition.
Yeah.
You know, so they're just you know, and there's just a lot of you know. So they kind of got us nailed, and there's a certain quality to their sound, which you know it's such a round and deep and you know and there's a lot of dirt in the sound, you know, it's just kind of a real black intense sound, you know, which you know I kind of feel a little pale next to it sometimes, but you know, but hey, we got a Grammy, you know,
you got a Grammy. Now that brings me to another question. You learned that you have this gift. You learned that it was taking off. You got your name out there, and people were seeking you out because they had a whole bunch of music somewhere in a cabinet somewhere that was not performable and has not been recorded because they had nobody with your gift. Does that bring a little bit of extra legacy to you in your mind that you are allowing us to hear music that has not been around for quite some time?
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, you know, like when I talk with Craig or other conductors, you know, particularly Craig and Consperare, you know, about you know music that's there and that needs to be heard and that you know because. Those that can do it are few and far between, you know. Yeah, it's kind of humbling, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we think about it, that the piece that the disc that we did with Consperare, which is all Russian liturgical music, and the piece that I have my solo on, which has the low G in it, you know, the man who is the big publisher of that music, you know, on my path, his name is Vlad Morrison. He's great, and I was doing a gig once. I forget where was it. It might have been Salt Lake City. Yeah, it was Salt Lake City. And he was there, and he said, "I've got just the piece for you." And he said, "There are hardly any people. There are hardly any that can do it." And that's how this piece came to be. But
sure.
You know, pieces like that and other, gems, they're just amazing things.
Yeah, they're out there.
But to be able to bring them to life, you know, and it's just, you know, yay, you know, it's fun.
So, all right. So now a little bit later, and then we're gonna take a break and go and talk about your Grammy experience. But before I go for the next break. What is it like to get a bunch of basso profundos in a room? What do you guys do?
Well, I don't know. We're kind of normal.
No. You all know. See, now trumpet players, we get in the room, and if we're friends, we're good. If we're adversaries or competitors, all it is showmanship.
Well, I don't know. The Consperare bases, well, you know, I kind of beat them all, you know, but it's no big deal.
See, you know, there's that competitiveness.
There was one time. There's a bit of a, you know, let's see who can outdo who.
One downsmanship? Well, how do you say that?
I don't want to
I don't want to put you on the spot. I just find it funny. I find
it was funny. In the one situation, I remember we were doing it's that recording that we just listened to.
Yeah.
You just had on a Vox from Ann Arbor.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is an amazing disc. It's amazing. And we did it with another group. And to do this repertoire that was really, really low. And the other group up there had their low bass there, too.
Right.
Well, I kind of felt badly because, he was used to being the bottom of the heap. And, he just got moved up one notch.
See? There it is. There it is.
He kind of was an extra little thing, And
it shows
like,
up. It shows up. I can tell. By the way, that recording and it's just somebody recording with a video camera, so it's not really great sound equipment, but the quality and the overtones that came through just on that recording are phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's just amazing how clear clarity and the quality of that. Beautiful.
Low voices like mine, we generate so many overtones.
Yeah.
And what it does with the choir I guess it's like they're like rungs on a ladder.
Yeah.
And the voices above you just find those, and it just make this lock into the tuning, and it's just the foundation that holds it all up. And that's
and you probably have been aware of this for years, but because of the you're down an octave lower, you're generating overtones that usually don't happen, that don't take place. So you hear them they get created. They don't even they're not even sung. They just get created in the air.
Right. I can really tell when I'm down there.
Yeah.
When things are really right on.
Yeah.
But where my overtones feel in my bone structure.
Oh man!
Face.
Wow! Wow!
So
that's amazing. That is amazing. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So there we are.
All right. We're going to take another quick break, Glenn, and then I want to talk about your Grammy performance and your Grammy experience. All right? So,
okay.
So hang on with me with just a few minutes. All right.
Thanks.
Of your small office shredder? Do you need to be compliant with federal regulations regarding the disposal of sensitive information? Are you concerned about identity theft? If so, then call AssureShred. AssureShred will provide your company customized on-site document destruction service that fulfills regulatory requirements and at the same time protects your organization from the consequences of the improper disposal of sensitive information. To obtain a free quote or to schedule an appointment, call AssureShred at 877-466-1566 today. That's 877-466-1566.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own.
Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Welcome back to Good Morning Hunterdon on JimberReady.com. I have on the line with me Glenn Miller. And that's Glenn right there. And
well, there I am.
There you are, yes. Glenn, do the seismologists give you a call every so often to say, hey, man, could you cut it out? Or you can't do that by a fault line or something?
Yeah, really. You know, I suppose. I haven't had any, you know, nothing too much like it. I don't know.
I kid with you. I know you have a great sense of humor about it. It seems to be. Tell me about, you told us about how you got involved in the project, but did you realize after performing it that it had the possibility of being considered for a Grammy?
Yeah, we've been up for, Concert Barari has been up for Grammy 6 times already.
Okay.
And we've all, we're kind of joking, always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
Right.
You know? And then when this disc was just really special for a lot of factors, the repertoire, the way it unfolded, the choir, the pacing, the uniqueness of it, and to have this piece that has this freaky low solo on it, it all was just kind of, I guess a recipe for making really a mark, and we were, we were hoping, but then we're like, no, let's not get our hopes up,
Yeah, sure. You don't want to be disappointed again.
No, back when we went to the Grammys, they took me and another bass, actually a baritone, and there were 7 of us that went. And when we went into the theater where they do the bulk of the presentations, they do 76 of them in the first round, which you don't see on TV, and then the evening show is the one where they do the last 6. And,
right.
We were in the first one, of course. And when we walked into the hall, they were playing music over the system and everything. And right when we walked in the hall, they were playing something from our disc.
All right.
And we're like, oh, no. Oh, no. Let's not just be, And so, but then, then it happened,
Sure.
And it was just kind of surreal,
So, all right. So you have you been to the Grammys prior to this one?
Never have. So, Craig, our director, had.
Okay. So you went there. So you got to see it for the first time. What was your feelings? What was your anticipation?
I didn't, didn't quite know what to expect. Another bass friend of mine in Concert Barari, he was like the second lowest guy in the group, and he's in another group called Room Full of Teeth, which won a Grammy the year before.
Right.
And we're good friends. And when I said, well, you knew I was going, and then he said, just hold on tight. It's going to be like nothing you've ever experienced. It's really just the whole thing. There's just such an energy, and it's just nonstop energy, and just it was, it was just pretty. I'm kind of mind boggling. The amount of talent there. The range of talent, it's everything from what we do to, way out of, AC/DC.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to have all that mixed at the same place, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. We're supposed to wear formal wear, and so I got my tux out and all that and everything, and I got there and I discovered, that's a pretty formal. It has a very broad definition. Formal range from designer, tuxes and evening gowns to, maybe washing your jeans.
There you go. And then your guys were called, and I saw that you were on the stage. What was that feeling like?
Well, it was like, okay, here we go. It was all I could think about going up. Well, before they actually start the program, they lay out, they say what the do's and don'ts are, and one is keep your words to a minimum. If the music starts, that's the hook. Got to get off, and careful when you walk down that you don't trip.
Right. Yeah.
And all I could think about was don't trip.
Don't trip.
Don't trip.
Oh my!
And I'm going up the steps, you know. So, but it was just, you know, your heart's in your throat, you know. Just, I'm glad I didn't have to talk, you know. Craig is so good, you know, because I probably would have gotten tongue-tied.
Sure.
But, but Craig was such a, he wanted me there because of my spot, you know, and all, and it was great. And then going backstage, Dot was just nonstop, you know, with all these different, photos and interviews
sure.
all that type of thing. And kind of an interesting glimpse into the world of celebrity for, you know, half hour.
Yeah. And then you guys go back to your little niche in life and, you know.
Well, yeah, it was, I live a very quiet life, by comparison. And just, it was just kind of crazy, you know.
Now, do you guys get one Grammy and you guys got to divide it up into little pieces?
They're very specific about that, you know. There's this one statue, and, of course, that goes to Craig, you know.
Okay.
The conductor. I was kind of hoping for one.
You didn't rip off the top part there, no?
No, actually, I don't know.
You should have taken the bass, obviously.
Well, that's good. you don't get to take it home. That comes later.
Oh, okay.
And we weren't allowed to touch it. Craig was allowed to hold it, but we weren't allowed to touch anything. I don't know what it was so about, but they're, it was really intense backstage. I'll never forget that.
Wow.
And they say in the program, specifically who exactly gets what, which I was like, I thought it would have been cool, but there you are. So.
All right. So you didn't get the Victrola or the bass. All right.
No.
Can they?
Can
they make one for you? Could you, if you actually wanted to? Is there a way that you could actually get a duplicate?
I think the restrictions are pretty tight. You know, in terms of legalities.
Can't find somebody over in.
We're going to get something. You know, they've assured us of that. But,
okay.
I would just like a little one.
Yeah. Can't find somebody that can do a knockoff somewhere in some far off country or something like that.
Well, it was funny. One of the Grammys went to Joan Rivers, and her daughter accepted it. You know, and she said, now she held it up. She said, now if you call QVC tonight at around 11, you can get one. So I'm kind of waiting
to get on there.
Yeah, sweet. That's what
sweet.
Her mother would say.
Sweet. That's funny.
So I thought, well, maybe, so, yeah, no, they're pretty,
Anything changed in your life since that, besides being on my show, of course?
When we went on stage and it happened, if you want to run your cell phone down real fast, win a Grammy.
Yeah.
The battery, the text. And the messages and the emails, and it just exploded.
Wow.
You know, and I heard from people I haven't heard, it just went nuts. People I hadn't thought of since I was a kid.
Awesome.
And from all over the place, and, in this country, I said some stuff in Europe, so, that was all going crazy, and on it went, it was just kind of mind-boggling, and it was a good call. The whole experience was a time of reflection, of where I've been and how my life led to this moment.
Sure,
and you see how all the things that you did up until then, how they all kind of led to the next,
right.
in an amazing way.
And And you also learned, I guess, how many people, how tight-knit your group is, despite your world is, despite the fact that you don't keep in contact with them, but everybody's following somehow, some way.
Yeah. That's neat. It's pretty amazing. Old former students, and people I've directed in choirs and things who are, And also, there's a Facebook group called Octavism and Base Astronomy, which is kind of funny. That's just kind of that went nuts, And if there ever is a group of people that kind of want to outlow the other,
There you go.
And groupies. Oh Lord, it is kind of funny.
That is funny.
You just kind of realize how far the ripples go.
All right, we only got about 3 minutes left. I just want to come back to Hunterdon County for a quick minute. Do you still have folks here? Do you still come back to visit from time to time?
About once a year. I have my brother-in-law and niece and nephew are still there, that's kind of it. Because when I've got time off, I devote my apart from my. My day job, my church work. I spend most of my off time just going around doing gigs. And my parents are gone now, so
yeah.
I don't get back like I used to.
Is the old dairy farm still there? Or?
It's still there, and it's still green. It didn't become a development. It's on polo fields, and when I'm there, I drive past it, and say, gosh, and. It, look at it. I said, it looks pretty good.
There you go.
I'm kind of glad it's still green. Franklin Township's got pretty, big zoning requirements.
Yeah.
So that's good. It's preservation, which is good. I wouldn't have traded it for the world.
Awesome. And so you grew up here. You went through high school here, and then you went down to Westminster. Yep. What's your lasting memory of Hunterdon County?
Oh, my gosh. Well, apart from the farm and things that connect with that, like Flemington Fair.
Oh, yeah. We don't do it.
Oh, yeah, because we had dairy cows and I was in 4-H. Showed our cows at the fair every year.
Excellent.
And all that type of thing. I'll never forget that. And our square dance club, with the dairy club, the competitions, all that type of thing. I'm just a farmer.
Awesome. A farmer in Detroit, in Bloomfield Hills, actually.
I know.
Farmer in Detroit.
I know, yeah. Well, it's kind of where General Motors, it's the church I serve is kind of like, it was a Sunday, it's the church that General Motors built, and it's kind of a palace, in the hills. It's pretty crazy.
Very cool.
They're supportive, and they just went nuts, about this.
Is the Grammy the pinnacle of your career, or does it coincide with the pinnacle of your career, or is... there's something else. Some musicians have performances that supersede everything else.
It's up there. Singing with Robert Shaw, doing the Rachmaninoff in France, that certainly was going up a mountain that's hard to beat. And there've been other performances, but yeah, this is kind of that's kind of hard to classify. Yeah, certainly getting the Grammy. But it's making the music and really amazing concerts where, you're just kind of taken somewhere else,
Yep. Well, it's been a
great ride.
Yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure to have you on. I really appreciate you giving me the time. I really am amazed at the work that you're doing. And it looks like, the Grammy was obviously well-deserved because, like I said prior to us talking about the Grammy experience, not only was it a great performance, but it also brought back to light some music and a period of musical history that we didn't get to hear. And so I think that's why it's so well-deserved. So thank you, and appreciate having you on.
Well, thank you. It's been a joy. Wow. So good.
All right. Thank you, Glenn.
Okay.
We'll talk to you soon. And when you're back down here, give me a call and we'll go out.
I will absolutely do that. It'd be
awesome.
Great to see, have a face with a voice.
All right. Excellent. Same to you. All right.
Take care.
That's Glenn Miller, and he is the voice of Basso Profundo. And we're going to get on out of here as soon as my music decides to kick in. There it is. It's been my pleasure to be with you as I am every weekday morning, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. I'll be back again tomorrow, Monday morning, same time, same place. Vince Arnolino says, never say I should have. Go out and check out Mr. Glenn Miller on YouTube and buy his CD. I'll be putting out there some information about that as well. Glenn, thank you so much for your contribution. Mike, thanks for your contribution. Stay tuned for Hands Across Hunterdon at 10 o'clock. Good morning, Hunterdon. Hunt Chamber Radio account.
Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntertonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at
This is USA Radio News. I'm Tammy Rose. Authorities are still trying to piece together details of two police officers being shot outside the Ferguson Police Department.
We've heard two different reports that bullet came from a white sedan that fled the scene with three male occupants and a female driver. There's also been a report that there were shots that were fired from a house.
There is bipartisan anger at the Secret Service, the top Republican and Democrat.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
I rock. Soft. So I eat Belveeta Soft Baked Breakfast Biscuits, a tasty breakfast option for nutritious morning energy. It's just what I want before writing a flute solo that will softly rock every dentist's office around. Try Belveeta.